You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is time to talk all things LCMS convention. No, the convention is not this summer, but next summer. But there are many district conventions happening this year, and we're going to get an update on where we are in the timeline leading up to the LCMS convention. Are you ready for convention, Sarah?
I'm so ready.
You're so ready? Before that, though, we have the LCMS Youth Gathering. We have LWML convention coming up very soon.
Every summer is just...
all kinds of district conventions, yeah.
So exciting.
Yes. So that's coming up in the summer of July 2026, end of July.
Summer of July 2026.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine by visiting cui.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. John Sias. He is Secretary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and helps us understand all things about the LCMS convention. Dr. Sias, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Thanks a bunch.
You are, I'm sure, in full swing leading up to, this is like the ramp, right, as things
we
ramp
We are
up.
In the throes of convention throes. Preparation. Okay. You guys said you're all ready. I'm not quite ready just yet.
I mean, I don't have to do anything for
only,
it. So.
Only 410 days to go, you know, not that anyone's counting.
But you are.
I have to.
Somebody has to.
Somebody
I'm glad
has
it's you.
All right, so the convention cycle is typically a three-year cycle. Typically, unless
it is.
There's
right
some
now,
global
anyway.
There's a little jubilee year there
yes.
for COVID-19.
So where does that place us in this convention cycle?
Well, we are ramping up to kind of the middle of that cycle and really kind of the most intense part, although it's not the Synod Convention, it's the district conventions, which start in January, the year before the convention, and they end kind of typically in July of that year before. The vast majority of them occur in June.
Ooh.
And so we are right at the cusp where I'm really grateful to be the secretary and not the president or one of the vice presidents.
Yes, I just stopped by his office to ask a question.
He was like, here?
No, he was not.
Yeah.
I was reminded that it is June of
otherwise
district convention year.
Otherwise indisposed for some time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He'll be waking up in hotels and wondering where he is for the next few weeks.
So all of those conventions happening, what happens during these district conventions that ties them into the national convention next year?
Well, a couple of really important things. The district conventions are the place where the congregations gather directly. Their pastors, their people, the commission ministers, advisories, members of their boards are gathering as units that gather more often, to be honest, that know each other a little bit better. And sometimes have kind of local problems, some of which they'd like to see bubble up to the national level. So the conversation that happens at these district conventions is really important in leading toward a good conversation that reflects the needs of the whole synod when we finally gather as a synod. There are a couple important mechanical things that happen. One is those district conventions are often the vehicle for overtures or requests for synod convention activity. And those that come from the districts, we tend especially to appreciate because they've been chewed on the most before they get to us. Mm. Some have started in a congregation or worked their way up to a circuit and then had the benefit of a whole district looking at them and working on them, refining them through the convention process, and then sending it on up to request whatever activity they'd like to see done or changed or even changes to the bylaws or constitution. So those are cooking along. The other important thing that I'm kind of particularly giving attention to is half our districts each cycle are electing members of the committee for convention nominations. Mm. So 17 do it one time, 18 do it the other. And in alternating parts of the cycle, they send a professional church worker, ordained or commissioned minister, or layperson. And those committees that gather in the January immediately before the convention to select the slates of candidates that will appear for the Office of Secretary and then various boards and commissions throughout the Synod. So if you're in one of those districts that's electing those, don't forget to have those elections and send us those people.
So you mentioned the Office of Secretary. That's the office you hold.
That is the office I hold, yeah. So if anyone out there, you know, is excited about the work I describe, get somebody to fire in a nomination. it's always open season in the office of the secretary.
So district conventions happening now. You said 17 districts send representatives
right.
for the...
In alternating years, we have 35 districts, so half is kind of
correct.
Rough.
You could do 17 and a half districts.
Right, yeah.
That'd
that
be
doesn't
weird.
Work.
Be kind of tough on that guy.
And so they are sending representatives for the, remind me again, the...
Each district, sends one representative to the Committee for Convention Nominations. And I'm doing the preliminary work for that committee right now, a bunch of paperwork, or actually online form work. We're kind of excited about that this time. But gathering names from all over the Synod, which will go into a big pot, and that committee will sort through everything that comes in and sort out the slates of candidates for on an order of 70 positions throughout the Synod. Yeah.
That's so a lot.
It's a big job and kind of an exciting thing. I was on the committee before I became secretary, and so got to enjoy it doing it. Now I get to enjoy facilitating. It is pretty exciting.
So nominations, that really is a very large part of what happens in this convention cycle, really. So those 17 districts or 18 districts, depending on which cycle we're in, send representatives. They then work together to nominate or create the slates of nominees, correct?
Correct. They take the nominations that come in, and that's the part of the process we're in now for the CCN, the gathering of those names for all these offices that will be open for election. It's so important that they get a collection of names and information. We collect a lot of information on these people so that committee, when they come in for 2-3 days, can really chew through it and make some wise choices, have some good conversations about these folks. So we're in that process right now. And it's kind of exciting because you don't have to be a professional church worker. You don't have to be a whole congregation acting as a congregation. Anyone who's a member of one of our congregations is welcome to go fill out a nomination for us and give us a name that you think would be good for an officer position or a board or commission of the Synod. Now, if you've got ideas about the president and vice presidents, those have to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
But secretary and everything else, now's your time.
Hold your horses just a little bit longer for those two. I know that those are the ones that everyone's gearing up for. But
the secretary is really where it's at.
Oh, I'm you sure. Know,
but
it sounds so exciting. Now you said 70 positions.
It's roughly 70. Some of those are duplicates where you've got multiple seats on a board of regents or something of that nature, or on the board of directors.
But. Yeah. Can you give us a little bit more just insight on what some of the categories of positions are, what some of those people would be doing?
Sure. And I'll tell you right up front, because I'm just going to give just a taste of what's out there. Uh-huh. Anybody can go to lcms.org/nominate and be taken to a page that has all this information and more there, including a couple really important documents, the call for nominations memo, which is a letter from me kind of explaining what's going on again. Of course, we do it every 3 years, so it's not that exciting a memo. But attached to that is the officer board and commission document, which will give you, for all those positions, it'll lay out the particular office, which is the only office we do this for is secretary. So we might as well call it the SBC, but that would confuse people. A different convention.
Yes.
The officer and then the various boards where there are positions to be filled and commissions. There's a job description there of what each of those does. And then an indication of which seats are open. Sometimes they're looking just for a pastor or for a commission worker or for a layperson. And then the people that are incumbent in those seats. So it's a handy document if you're interested in nominating someone to go and see what are all the opportunities for a person who's, you know, a good Christian in your congregation, active in the church, cares about the church, has some leadership skills or other technical skills that might be helpful. You can go there and try and match that person up to a position where CCN might put him or her up for duty. So all that's there, lcms.org/nominate. And also the link to the form where, as I said, any layperson in the synod or any commission worker, ordained worker, anybody that's a member of one of our congregations can go and fill out that form and send in a nomination.
And CCN stands for Committee for Convention Nominations.
Not CCM.
Thank you.
Not M, the Commission for Constitutional Matters.
Oh, man. Those letters.
Yeah.
That'll get you tripped up.
Yeah.
Alphabet soup in the LCMS.
I've got to start my day with diction exercise. But there are a number of important positions.
Yeah.
Office of the Secretary, you know, you kind of know from my little samples here, at least part of what that does. Board of Directors of the Senate, which is charged with seeing to the business, property, and legal matters for corporate Senate, and then relating to the Senate-wide corporate entities and all the agencies. So some very interesting work there for business-minded people who have a heart for seeing the resources of the church put to ministry.
Several of those boards, like the Board of Directors, only some of the seats are up for election.
That's
correct?
Right. Yeah, the Board of Directors is a particularly complicated one. The Board of Directors' service in the elected positions is for 6 years at a time.
Oh, wow.
Although the president, secretary, we have three-year terms. And if the board were to appoint appointed members, they would have only three-year terms. But they are six-year terms in the elected seats, so they are staggered, and only roughly half of them come up each time. And also, five of the seats on that board for the lay people are regional. Mm. So those are staggered as well, so we're only electing two or three regions at a time. But those are an opportunity there to try to make sure that we spread the coverage of the Board of Directors around geographically.
It's like a board game.
It is like a board game.
Like, I see the pun there. I didn't really intend that to be a pun, but
that was great.
How many rules, you're trying to fill this spot, but
it's like a big logic. If you love logic problems.
Yes.
We have it then. There's one of the projects that Barb Bielow and I work on before the convention is actually a logic table, a chart.
Oh, that's amazing.
For the Committee on Elections that they fill in as we're electing at the convention, the Board of Directors members, to see what options are still available for people who are on the ballot as different regions are filled. And we can also only have so many from a given district on that board. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, it is kind of a little chess game there.
So if you loved logic problems in grade school.
Yes, job for you?
Yes.
Is this color-coded?
There is some color.
Yeah. It gets better.
Yeah. If we had a television program, I could show you. You know, someday.
Someday, yes. We're talking about the Synod Convention and where we are in this cycle with Reverend Dr. John Sias, Secretary of the LCMS. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
The Concordia University System is comprised of five universities of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Located across the United States, the universities offer more than 160 undergraduate and 50 graduate programs and approach learning from a Lutheran context with the goal of developing Christian leaders for the church, community, and the world. Learn more about your Concordia University System at cus.edu. The Concordia University System, education built on God's Word. cus.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Dr. John Sias, Secretary of the LCMS, about where we are in the Synod Convention cycle. So we've talked about where we are right now in June, how this is like the high season of district conventions. What happens then after everyone has kind of gone through those district conventions?
Yeah, so as you said, the district conventions are really rolling, are really just gathering steam right now for a really quick hit through June. One of the things that they will do, in addition to generating those overtures and giving me my CCN people, is they'll be finalizing, along with their board of directors, the arrangement for electoral circuits in the Synod. So the electoral circuits are groups of congregations that together will send pastoral and lay delegates to the convention and select some alternates in case the people they choose aren't able to go when the convention comes around. But those things are being finalized. We'll probably have a little smaller convention this year just because numbers of confirmed members have dropped just a hair. Mm. And so we had 532 circuits, I think, electoral circuits last time. We'll probably come in right around 500. So it'll be a little slightly more intimate convention setting there in Phoenix. Maybe we'll have a little bit more space to air out. It might be a little warm.
Might be.
Probably not in the convention hall, though.
No.
But so that's going on. And once the district conventions are done, then those circuits will likely be meeting selecting their convention delegates and getting them registered with my office to attend. The ability to continue to submit overtures and nominations goes on for a little while. Mm-hmm. The nominations for CCN are welcome until October 18th, I believe is the day this time around. And at that point, we'll switch over very intently to preparing for that meeting, the CCN, that's in January. At that time, also, the process for president and vice president nominations will start. So we'll set the CCN process aside for a minute. And the congregations will have the opportunity, through an online system we've used before, to do those nominations, as well as to register presidential voters. Mm. Because since 2013, we've elected the president not at the convention, but before. And that means each congregation needs to register, starting in October again, those two voters, a president, a pastoral and a lay voter, to cast that congregation's vote for the president of the Synod, which takes place a few weeks before the convention in that June. So that'll be going on too. So it's kind of a turning of the times here in mid-October when all that stuff starts to happen.
Wow, that's a lot to keep track of.
Do you see? Yeah. He's got spreadsheets here.
I have a little spreadsheet here.
Yeah, that's this gets stuck in my ring-bound handbook and travels with me all the time.
I love
it. So the Committee for Convention Nominations meets in
They
October,
will meet
in
here
the
in
fall.
St. Louis in
January. That's right.
It takes us a little while. Right. We get the nominations in by mid-October, but then, as I said, we collect a lot of information on these folks. So yeah. It's not just the nomination, which has some questions about qualifications and your idea of how this person would be good for something. We go out to all those folks and we gather a biographical form where they tell us more about themselves. They indicate whether they'd be willing to serve in the offices for which they've been nominated,
That's important.
Appreciate that. And tell us about their qualifications also to serve on a board of regents. So we're often looking for regents for our Concordia universities. And the convention asked us a number of years ago to screen everybody to see who might make a good regent, even if someone didn't think of that possibility. Mm-hmm. So we gather all that stuff. We also gather information from evaluators. They're suggested by the nominator or by the nominee, or some that you just get by grace, your district president, your circuit visitor, your pastor, if you might be a teacher in a congregation, so on and so forth. And so we've got a little bit of work to do once the nominations come in. We're rounding all that up. Hopefully we'll go more quickly now that it's all in a slick electronic system this time.
Man, using electronic devices, this is fancy. Yeah. Now you mentioned Board of Regents for Concordia Universities. Does this also involve election of regents for the seminaries as well?
Yes. Yep. The regents for the seminaries are also in this mix. The seminary regents serve six-year terms, so they overlap. It's not all the seats that are up as it would be at the universities, but definitely they're in the mix. And there are always certain seats that we get a lot of nominations for, and then there are others that we need more. And if you're a pastor in the Synod, it seems your goal in life is to serve on a seminary board of regents or on the CTCR, you know, one of the pastoral seats there. We get more nominations for those spots than you could imagine.
Huh.
But there are others where there are great opportunities. Commission ministers often on our boards of regents, those we sometimes struggle to fill. We have some great incumbents there, but it's always nice to have folks in the pipeline. And so, you know, if you know a commission minister who has some breadth of experience out in the church and would help guide a university, especially in preparing commissioned church workers, you know, give that name up.
Yeah.
We need those.
What are some of the things that make for a good regent of a university? We talked with one on a Set Apart to Serve conversation. It was just really interesting to have more insight into what a regent does. I think we know about regents, but it's... There's some broad experience that really helps with these universities.
It takes a breadth and depth of experience on a board, and also the ability of a person to work in a board governance setting.
Mm.
It's not something we've all had the opportunity to experience, but you know, a board involves people coming with a lot of different perspectives, sometimes with difficult questions. Mm-hmm. A board of an educational institution is faced with serious financial and property questions, but also they can't simply make decisions on that basis. The decisions they make there are impacting the spiritual lives of their students, their courses through programs, and how the institution is serving the synod and the broader community. So some very difficult choices that have to be made there. And board members that have to be able to understand these issues, to discuss them, even sometimes forcefully, to get ideas aired and really the tires fully kicked on things before decisions are made. Mm-hmm. So it takes a special kind of person or development of special skills.
So there are numerous opportunities to serve, and the Committee for Convention Nominations will be working on that. So what does this mean for me, the person in the pew? What does this mean for the layperson or for the parish pastor or church worker right now? What should we be considering, and what are our next steps for those of us across the LCMS?
Right. The most important thing right now is to think about people that you know in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, whether in your congregation or that you've worked with somewhere else, that would be good for something. We need the Onesimuses, the useful people. And no one can really replace your role in the process of giving those useful people because I don't know everybody that's in every pew in the Synod. And you've got people sitting down the pew from you that have life experience, business experience, educational background that we don't know of, but that would be useful somewhere. And so we really rely on this nomination process to get those names up here so that Committee for Convention Nominations can winnow through them and find the most qualified people. So I'd encourage everybody that's listening, you know, to go to that lcms.org/nominate, take a look at what's there, check out our new form system, and then think carefully about people you know that, even if they haven't thought of themselves as useful, well, you give us the name and we'll get in touch and we'll check them out.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that may be more common than we might think, that people don't think that they themselves would be very useful, but other people are like, hey, you actually have a really good skill set.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it takes a press gang, you know, to come around and find folks and to give that shot of encouragement. You know, everybody's busy these days. We've got so many commitments, but I've gotten to know, you know, in my years here at the Synod, so many truly extraordinarily people on these boards who, you know, give a generous amount of their time, but in the end make a huge difference for what our institutions are able to accomplish for the church. So yeah, it's there are a lot of great opportunities there. It's just finding the people and giving them a little boost to get in there and do it.
Absolutely. Nominations and overtures. I know we've touched on that a little bit. What is that? We have like 2 minutes left, but
okay, yeah,
I know that's an important part right now too.
Ideas for anything you want to see the convention do, congregations, circuits, conferences of pastors and teachers, district conventions, get those ideas together. You can also go to lcms.org/convention/governance. There's a whole bunch of information there on how to put overtures together, handy template for how to do that. We'll be accepting those things until February of next year. So you got a little more time there, and we may have another time to talk about that.
Yeah.
Sure.
But ideas for how to make things better, start tuning them up and getting them in.
So nominations now at lcms.org/nominate. And then the CCN, the Committee for Convention Nominations, right, meets in January in Tropical St. Louis.
Yeah. Yes.
And then the floor committee weekend is not until, when is that?
That comes around in June, right before the convention. So
about a month or so.
About a month and a half before the convention, when they winnow through all the overtures and turn them into resolutions that are ready for convention action.
It's a fun weekend.
That's right. We'll talk more about that closer to that time. So lcms.org/nominate, you can find out information there about the opportunities and how you can nominate someone for those opportunities to serve in the LCMS. Our guest
today, early often. Nominate early and often.
Early and often.
I love it.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. John Sias, Secretary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thank you so much, Dr. Sias. Always a great chat.
Thank you. Always fun.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.